Hey everyone, this is Ellie of the Animator Life Podcast.
And this is Nick.
And we have a special guest with us today. He's one of my best friends in the entire world, Ellis Williams. Before I introduce him, I'm going to tell you what he got me for Christmas, because it's really exciting. He got me a coffee mug with Lucille Ball on it that said, "Lucy, you have some splining to do," and it's like one of my favorite things ever. So now when I work, I drink my coffee with my Lucy splining mug and think of Ellis.
I see what you did there.
With that introduction, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Ellis. I went to Animation Mentor where I met Ellie, and I'm currently an animator for a small indie studio called Myth Tech, and been doing that for a little while, and do a bit more than animating, so I do a lot of illustration and other freelance things on top, because the indie studio is small and isn't big enough to keep everyone busy.
Isn't that most indie projects?
It kind of feels that way. It's my main gig, so like I work with several other animators there, and we do a lot of different things. But since it's mostly us and a couple of other people, we all have to take on like a lot of different responsibilities other than just animating. Like this week, I had to relearn how to rig, which I hadn't had to do since college.
Oh.
And
yeah, that's insane. Yeah. Rigging's hard too.
I had to rig and animate a character for an art test, and suffice it to say, I didn't get the job.
So... Oh, yeah, rigging...
Yeah, that did not go well.
Yeah, rigging is not something I enjoy. We were using auto-rigger for a while, but the auto-rigger doesn't work with the face at all, so... Why not just do the whole thing and make sure that everything's working like you want it to work, rather than hope the auto rigger does everything that you need for it?
True.
Yeah, what makes rigging so hard, and like why riggers I think are like unsung heroes, is because like so much of what you can do in animation depends on having a good rig. Like if you don't have a good rig, you can't make a good animation. I mean, it's just,
true. It's so true. I had a freelance gig a while back that I was complaining about for a while, because they hired a rigger who I think was one of the, like, the brother of the owner. And when they said, "Can you rig?" he said yes. But what he really meant to say was, "No, I've never seen a rig in my entire life and have no idea what rigging means." Because the first set of rigs I got from him were completely terrible. And when I say terrible, I mean... On the rig.
That was the nice way of putting it.
It's totally the nice way of putting it. Like the one thing that, quote, worked would have been like the mass mover. So you can move the character around in the scene, and you could grab any of his other controls and do the exact same thing that the mass mover did. But you could also, individually, you could move one foot and a finger on a hand, but nothing else moved individually.
Oh, wow.
It was... Hmm.
That would be rough. Yeah, like, what could you do with that?
You couldn't do anything with it. Nothing worked. And it's like, oh, dude. It's like, I could rig this for you, and it would take me a while, because I'm really not a rigger. But at least I would be able to get something that would work at the end. Or, like, work in a way that I would know how to counter-animate everything.
Yeah.
He eventually got a little bit better. But then he started, like, hiding all of the controls for it. It's like, why are you hiding your controls? Where are the foot controls? Oh, you have them hidden under a display layer that you've turned invisible. Great.
Weird.
That
makes no sense.
It was weird. And it was like all of the controls were that way. It's like, why are you bothering to turn them off? Ugh.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
On top of it, he had a lot of extra personality issues. I'm pretty sure he was a narcissist. So,
well, the joys of freelancing.
Exactly. He thought he was doing everything perfectly, and it was like, oh, dude. It's like, my requirements are really low. It's like, I don't care if the rig is completely finished, as long as it has something I can do with it. I can kind of make it work, even if you are forced to stick with your sucky IK arms while you're doing a walk cycle, which was one of the things that wound up happening. It's like, oh, dude.
I feel like people who know how to animate would probably make the best riggers if we had the time to learn, because we know what the like animators know what they want, what they need, which is why I'm like
Yeah.
I think I always liked the Bishop rig from AM because they had so much input in it. I always thought Bishop was like a pretty nice rig.
Wow, Bishop
Like
is an
I never had any.
amazing rig.
Yeah, like I have no complaints about that rig. Every once in a while it would break, but that was my fault. It was never the rig's. It was never once the rig's fault. It was always my fault because I did something stupid or this or that. So.
I don't know. I never liked his mouth setup. I don't know. I just didn't like it as much. Also, I don't like the way that he looks.
You can mod him out though to make him look kind of like anything, although you lose a bunch of clothes when you do
Yeah.
Once again, if it's not animation, I don't know how to do it that well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was stuck with the main bishop and whatever clothes he came with.
Well, Nick, have you ever done any freelance work or anything?
I have not, so why don't you guys tell me how you got into freelancing? Because I legitimately don't even know how to do that.
Oh, really?
Okay,
I got
hook a
into
brother up.
it.
What you got?
So for freelancing, I kind of most of the work I do for freelancing is graphic design or digital art work. Like I do a lot of book covers, and I kind of fell into that by accident. I have a really close friend who is an author that said he wanted a cover done, and he was like, "You're really artistic, but I don't know if do you think this is something you'd be interested in doing? And like, is this in your skill set?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll give it a shot. You know, just like." The next time we're all hanging out, you buy the pizza kind of thing. And I really liked it. And he showed it to some other people. And then, you know, like I got a couple phone calls from other writers asking to do that. So when I graduated from AM, I was trying to find, you know, a little bit of extra work to, you know, pay the bills and get some extra money. So I actually registered in the state of Ohio, a DBA, which is a doing business as name, and opened a website. And what that allows me to do is freelance under a name that's not my own. So I'm not a licensed company. Like I can't hire employees, but it means like when you're doing work without a business license, it always has to be able to connect back to you. So if you freelance under your own name, you don't have to register anything because it's your name and you know your identity is very obvious. But
That
I wanted to like be more professional, so I registered a DBA called Creative Digital Studios, which allows me to freelance as Creative Digital Studios instead of Ellie Augsburger. And so it kind of like gives me a little bit more legitimacy, I guess. And I started that thinking that I would do like a little animation, I would do web design, I would do whatever fell in my lap, but I was hoping animation would come my way. And through the studio thing, it's not, but most of my freelance work is people finding me through my website I built. Like I have information on how to hire me, my prices, what kind of work I do, all of that on the website. And now Creative Digital Studios over the past couple of years has kind of evolved to just be book covers and like author services, because that's like the niche I filled with that. And we're actually thinking that I might do something similar specifically with animation and try not to do like a studio that does everything, like keep them separate. But there are like websites like Elance and Fiverr. You can get some kind of work, but like if you wanted to freelance, I would say start in those places.
Yeah, there's a lot of websites to look at. Gama Sutra is one, and it just goes on. However, when you look at that type of thing, they typically want a generalist who can do everything, and a lot of them don't want to pay you anything or want to pay you like third world wages. Because when you're
Like
on,
us.
it's true. When you're on those types of websites, those are the people that you're also competing against. So it's like, oh great, you can do this 30-minute long animation for $500. It's like, no, no, I can't. It's like I need
Yeah,
to
I.
be able to eat this month and pay rent,
Yeah, and I get a lot of people like messaging me or emailing me saying that, hey, we see you do animation or we see you do this, and I want a 3-minute Pixar style animation, and I only have a $50 budget and it needs to be done next week. And like, you'll get a lot of people like asking for something and they have no idea what they're asking for whatsoever. Like,
Right.
absolutely no clue. And I actually have this little video, Steve Carell with Illumination, after one of the Despicable Me movies came out, created this little video explaining all the steps in animation and how many people it works on work on it and how long it takes a movie to become a movie. And I send this to people who ask me that. Will you make this
That's a
whole thing
good
by
video.
yourself? Yeah,
Did you see DreamWorks actually made one about the
with the
pipeline as well?
penguins. Yeah, with the penguins, right?
Yeah, Skipper.
Yeah, to me that's always like really helpful because people won't believe me when I say it. But for whatever reason, they'll believe Steve Carell saying it. And like, they're like, well, just do the, it's just 3 minutes. It's like, okay, so if you watch a Pixar movie or a Disney movie where they've got that little short in the front, if you watch, they have credits for those, and it takes a whole team of like 40 people a year to make that 3-minute short. What makes you think that I would be able to do it by myself in a week for $50? Like,
Yeah, right.
yeah.
They really don't know what they're asking, especially just in art stuff in general. I think I do a lot of illustration freelance as well, and they all know when it doesn't look like what they want it to look like, but they can't really explain it back to you. It's like, oh, we want the overlap here. It's like, but they don't say it with those words. They
Yeah.
say it's like, this doesn't look right. It's like, oh. It's like, what
One
do
of
you
the biggest
mean?
jobs with animating, or not animating, but like freelancing in general, is you have to know how to ask the right kinds of questions to get crucial feedback from your client. And, I've got processes that I use, and, you learn a lot of it as you go too by trial and error. Like with the book cover stuff, I used to ask clients, what are kinds of covers that they're attracted to? Because I had assumed that people write the same kinds of books they like reading, which isn't the case. So, I had
I mean,
somebody
I
tell
feel like
me,
that's a fair assumption to make, at
yeah,
least at the beginning.
but, and that is a question that I think that asking that question, most people would be able to get the point that I'm trying to ask. And so I had somebody say they really liked the Twilight cover and they really liked this. So I used that information to make them a cover that would both fit their book and fit their styles. And they're like, well, just because I said I like that cover doesn't mean like I want that cover. And I'm like, well, I didn't give them a direct copy, but it like definitely had that vibe to it. So now instead of asking, or they've got a romance cover and they really like the Harry Potter, or they've got a romance book and they really like Harry Potter covers. Obviously, those two things don't fit. So now I do like this mind exercise where I say, okay, so your book is being put on display at Barnes and Nobles for they're doing like the genre of the month. So what are other books that would be in that display? So because that's your competition. So you have to attract those readers while also standing out in the display. And so I've had more success with people telling me that than what kind of covers do you like?
Yeah, or they're super vague also. That's another one. Like,
Yeah.
what do you want? It's
Yeah.
like, I want a book cover, or I want animation. It's like, well, what do you want the animation to be of? Stuff that works. It's like, okay. And
Yeah,
then
and you have to be prepared for people to say really insulting things. Like, I get a lot, I want a cover that's really going to sell and be eye-catching. Okay. Literally, that's the definition of a successful design. So you're just, by saying that to me, you're just telling me you want me to do my job well, implying that I wouldn't normally do that unless someone specifically asked me to. And so I'm like, well, obviously you want an eye-catching cover because that's how you sell books.
Yeah.
So.
So I fell into freelancing basically because there's not really a big animation setup here, and it was an easy way to get the type of work I wanted to do. And it just happens to never be local, or very rarely be local. The current other animation studio I'm working for is in Greece.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. It's like they speak great English, and you wouldn't know.
Huh. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, and you get paid through weird ways. Like they're not gonna do direct deposits, and I don't think I'd really want that anyway. So I get paid through PayPal, so I can actually get paid in US dollars, which is nice.
Yeah.
Some other places they'll mail checks, and then it's really slow. It just depends. So all of your bookkeeping, you have to do a lot of bookkeeping when you freelance. So everything's like a month off or so.
Yeah,
True.
that's actually really important to state for anyone who's not done freelancing before and thinking about doing it. You have to keep very detailed records of who pays you and when and how much, because it affects how your taxes are calculated. So normally when you're employed, your employer pays part of your taxes, and then the other part is withdrawn from your paycheck. When you're a freelancer, you have to pay all of it, and none of it is pulled out of your paycheck. So depending on how much money you make, you might have to pay quarterly taxes, or you can get in trouble, or there's a lot of different rules about how you have to report that income and how often you pay. Now,
Right.
what I do, because I also have a full-time job, all my freelancing is done in the evenings or on weekends. I have extra money withdrawn from my paycheck already. Like you can tell them to do an extra withdrawal to help cover what we estimate I think I'll make in freelance money. And then at the end of the year, we see where I'm at. And I think it's as long as my estimate is not off by something crazy like $2,000, I'm safe. But the moment that my estimate is way off, that's when they're going to start making me pay, file quarterly. Because you can get pinched really hard for that. just for anybody who's listening, that's crucial
I'm
to
sure.
know for
Yeah.
taxes.
And it can be both ways, over and underestimating. Like if it's not an appropriate amount, the IRS really wants to give you as little a return as possible.
Well, and not only that, you don't like you. I've always thought that getting as little a return as possible is great, too, because the more money you give to the government, the less money is making interest in a bank or a mutual fund. Or, if you give the government a bunch of money because you're prepaying your taxes and you think that's what you're going to be making in freelance, I usually try to kind of lowball it. well, I mean, within reason. I mean, I've been doing this for a few years, so I know what I'm allowed to get away with. Because I made X amount last year, regardless of how well or how bad I do, I have to pay that much this year. So it doesn't matter as much what my estimate is. If you overpay your bill by $100, they're just going to give you $100 back. Versus if that $100 had been sitting in your savings account for a year, you might have made 10 cents off of it. I mean, which I know isn't a big deal, but if you're really handy with investments, you can make an investment with it and make a lot more money. I mean, that's just my philosophy. So, never use the government as a bank. That was always my dad's advice. So,
Pretty good advice there.
that sounds solid.
yeah, because you never know when everything is going to collapse.
Tomorrow. So what about y'all's your I'm assuming both of you have your own individual contracts. How'd you guys come about making those and getting those set up and what's in them and stuff like that?
Research and trial
Trial
and
and
error.
error.
Yeah, you research for the base part, like what looks like, you know, basic things, contracts. I do work, you pay me. This is what it contains. You have to have a scope and things that are like a definition on what gets outside the scope. Otherwise, you wind up doing a lot of free work that you don't get paid for. Kind of like the bookkeeping part of freelancing. You don't really get paid for that. It's like, so hopefully your hourly rate encompasses that type of back-end work that you have to do. Yeah, so it's that, or you get a lot of bad experiences. Like, this needs to go into my contract now. You're only getting one revision or however many before you have to start paying again.
I found a standard contract. There's a couple of resources. Like, if you Google, like, a lot of graphic design websites have resources for like standard contracts you can build off of and things like that. And I bought a book. I'll have to look up the name of it because it's been a few years. It's like contracts for freelancers and freelance designers. And I use that for references. My contract changes every time I have a bad experience. Like with the book covers, my clients would start asking me if I knew of people who provided service or did myself for other parts of the publishing process, like editing. And my husband's an editor, so he actually does freelance too, editing, which is really nice that we're able to work together that way. And then after that process, you need to make sure the book is laid out correctly with all like the right margins and the right settings and font styles and stuff in order for it to print and then be displayed on an ebook, like if you guys use it like a Kindle or something. And so I looked into how to provide that service as well. And so I was formatting this woman's book, and it always boggles my mind. I open these files in Word, and it instantly tells me that there's all these spelling and grammar errors. And then I get to, so going through and kind of skimming it and trying to make sure everything's laid out properly, I notice that there's 15 pages of pristine, like no spelling errors, no grammar errors, nothing for her book. And I was like, wait, hold on. This is strange. And so I Googled her text. And she had copy and pasted an entire article from the For Dummies website. Like, you know how they make all those books for dummies? She had copy and pasted an entire article, which turned out she had actually not copy and pasted the article. She had completely transposed an entire chapter of a book she had. And she didn't cite it. It wasn't in quotation marks. It was a whole like chapter of this book that she had just copied. And yeah, I was instantly like, oh shit. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that, but that was how I felt. And I have a intellectual properties lawyer that I talk to on occasion, and like we use my contract every now and then, and like if there's a problem, like I like having him, I like having that relationship in case I need to like send a cease and desist letter or file a claim kind of thing, because I have had to do that before. I've had clients violate their contract, in which case, their permissions to the work I created becomes void at that point. So I called him and I was like, okay, so this is the situation. Am I going to be the one that gets in trouble for this? Because anybody can sue anyone. So I designed her cover and I'm laying it out. What is my course of action here? Like, what should I do? And he said, well, give her the benefit of the doubt, talking to you. She doesn't sound like maybe the brightest person. Maybe you should, maybe she doesn't know that that's plagiarism. And call her and tell her. And then if she has any questions, have her call me. He goes, but, as long as you've done your due diligence, telling her that this is illegal, you should be okay. And, you have this clause in your contract that says if by any chance she uses your work and breaks the law and anyone comes after you, she has to cover all your legal fees and you get to pick your lawyer. So, that means she'd have to pay my fees. And the whole picking your own lawyer thing is crucial because if you said that they had to pay their legal fees, they could say, okay, well, I'm hiring Jim Bob Lawyer over here for $2 an hour, and that's your legal representation, and then you'd be like, okay, well, Jim Bob obviously doesn't have my interests at heart, kind of thing. So, that was a
That
crucial
sounds pretty
part.
smart. Yeah, that sounds pretty smart to have.
Semi-related to that, you get a lot of clients that will try to take your work and use them outside of the scope that you prepared it for. For example, if you do work designed to display like only like on the web, it's significantly different than say giving them work that they could like display on like a screen or like take screen caps of and make posters of, because the quality is completely different. Like a 72 DPI online image isn't going to print well at something
Yeah.
that's significantly larger. It's gonna
Yeah.
look terrible and pixelated regardless of what it is. Then I had that happen once with a client where we were doing work that was supposed to all be on a Kindle. Again, it's like doing illustration work. And then he decided that he wanted to like use the interior illustrations, which is the only part I was doing on this book, and use it for all of his promotional materials also. And it's like, great. We didn't talk about that. That's outside the scope. You need to pay me for that. And well, he didn't. He went around my back and was starting to do it anyway. And I got a hold of it, got the whole cease and desist thing to happen through a lawyer, and got taken care of. But like, the print, from what I saw, looked really terrible. It's like, I felt really crappy seeing it. It's like, oh, this does not look like what my work looks like. It was supposed to be digital only. And then he had it like printed on really terrible paper. So of course like everything bled.
That's just hurting on multiple levels at that
Yeah,
Yeah,
it
exactly.
does. And my thing is, when you hire me, you're also hiring my expertise and my knowledge. So, I mean, if you had a question about these things, all you have to do is ask, and I'll be happy to answer a question like, what kind of paper should I print this on? And, what should I do with this? Like, for me, like, a lot of times, my contract is only as good as how willing I am to enforce it. And like I've got clauses on like how payments work. And I've had a client call me and say, listen, my car broke down this month and I really just can't pay that final payment. Is it okay if like we can postpone it for a month? I usually like my rule of thumb is if you're open with me and you talk to me about it, okay. But like if you dodge me or if you do something shady, that's when I start enforcing things. Like if I email you or I'm trying to call you and I'd say, "Hey, your payments, here's your invoice," and I don't hear back from you, that's when I'm going to start getting upset. And like I have this little handy app that plugs into Gmail. It's an extension and it's called it's from HubSpot. I can't remember what it's called, but it allows you to see when someone opens your email. So I have a whole written transcript of every time someone's read an email and never responded. And like times, like if they've opened it multiple times. So I had a client, I messaged a client an official letter and I CC'd my lawyer and said, "Listen, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 60 days. Your invoice is 30 days past due. This is the problem. If you do not respond to this within 24 hours, I will be contacting my lawyer and contacting collections. As a reminder, according to the contract you sign, any fees that I have to pay for collections gets passed on to you, as well as any legal fees I have due to failure of passing or paying your bill on time gets passed to you, as well as an extra 10% surcharge for a late fee." And I reattach the contract I signed and highlight the section where it says that. And that gets a response so quickly. Like instantly, I was, "Oh, I never saw those original emails. I'm so sorry." And I use Google Voice too. Like all these little apps you can get are amazing. I use Google Voice so I don't have to send out my private number. And then you can also use it to set up office hours. So it only forwards to my cell phone between the hours of 9 and 5, Monday through Thursday. Every other day of the week, it goes straight to voicemail and then it sends me a text. And that's it. It doesn't ring my phone, it doesn't bother me, because it helps, like setting boundaries helps ensure that your clients are going to start respecting you a little bit.
That's
If you
so
bend over
true.
backwards and are willing to work at like 3 o'clock in the morning, which I do a lot, but I don't email them until like noon the next day, because then they'll call you and bother you all the time. I had a client call me at Christmas. So, but one other thing that's nice about Google Voice is that you can press a button and it'll start recording the conversation. So this guy is telling me on the phone that he never received my emails and he's really sorry that he's late and he'll pay me. And, "Oh, do I mind waiting another month?" And I said, "No, this is why I mind waiting another month and why you're going to pay me within 24 hours, or else I am going to call collections." because I have a transcript of every time you've opened my email, read it, and ignored it. And you opened it this time at this day, this time on this day, later again the same day. And so, and I like read them a whole list. I was like, I have, you know, read receipts that you read this email and were not responding. And like, before, after
this is
the
like
initial,
some private investigator type stuff right now.
I like, you get burned and you learn fast, like, to not mess around.
Oh, I'm
things.
Sure.
I had a client find me on Facebook and would message me like basically like my dailies for animation work I was doing for them at random times. Normally it was fine. Like if you're doing it during the day, great. It's like, it's freelance. You basically work until you're done for the most part. Like, but when I say done, like you like complete a shot, you submit it, or a sequence of shots, and then you submit them, and then you think that they're going to like actually spend time creating their feedback before they give it to you or accepting them. And most of the time they would come through and say, great, everything's accepted, fine. But every once in a while it's like, oh, this looks good, but this character is going to be a different character. Can you transfer the animation to this other rig? And sometimes it's okay. Sometimes you have to like do a lot of other work because the proportions are different. But this one particular client would do all of those big, hard, long changes at 3 in the morning and message me on Facebook. And sometimes I'd be awake because it depended on what the day was. Other times I would be sleeping. But if I didn't reply right away, they would get more and more urgent and stressful.
Oh my goodness, were they in the same time zone, or were they like...
They were in San Francisco, and...
Oh, that's obnoxious.
So, like, I'm in Seattle, so that's the same time zone for me. And it's like, stop it. Don't send me, like, a bunch of, like, 30-second changes. Just send me a list of everything, and I'll, like, fix it for you. But I can't work while I'm sleeping. I totally can't work while I'm sleeping.
It's so crazy to hear about stuff like this.
Yeah, clients will abuse you if you can. If you let it happen.
Nick, if you ever freelance, you will learn very quickly that people in general are just awful.
I've worked at the customer service desk at Home Depot and at Subway. I'm fully aware people are horrible.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's nothing new.
Yeah. Well, like, and what it is too is that I think there's this mentality a lot. I ran into this weekend. I had a client hire me, and I tell people that I have standard time for projects, and if you need anything faster than that, you'll have to pay a rush fee. And this woman, I won't go into too many details to give away who it is, but she has a presence, and she writes for a lot of online blogs that are actually very prominent. And because of that connection, I wanted to make sure that I went a little bit above and beyond because she could be sending more business my way. So she did not inform me of this rush that she needed. And really all she needed, it was maybe like 2 days faster than I normally do it. And I was like, oh, that's not a big deal. So I gave her all these files. And what I was doing was formatting her interior. And I make people sign a piece of paper stating that they understand that once formatting begins, there is no editing because I will not edit the book for them. So if they say, hey, I saw all these typos, can you go in and change this, this, and this? I say no, because I did that once and I got blamed for all the typos I did not catch. And I'm like, I don't read your book. I'm not an editor. If you have typos in your book, this is not my fault. You know, it's not my responsibility to make sure your book is pristine. That's the writer's job, I think. But she said she went in and found just a couple of things that she wants to change. And there's not enough time to reformat it. And against my better judgment, I sent her a working file. And I said, okay, so this is what you need to know about this working file. You literally can't change anything but the text. You can't change the margin, you can't change the font, you can't change the indents, you can't change the spacing. You can change nothing that would affect the layout. The only thing that you can change is the text, because if you do anything else, you'll break the file. She calls me Friday, 5 minutes before I'm getting ready to leave work, on my private number, which I have no idea how she got, yelling at me. Because, and she kept saying, how it wasn't her fault, and she broke her file. And she told me, it's not my fault, it's all your fault, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wait, was the file broken when you opened it? And she goes, no, it wasn't. It wasn't broken until I started going in and essentially doing everything that she was instructed not to do. Yeah. And she's like, I demand that you work all weekend to fix this. And I kind of put my foot down a little bit. And I said, listen, I formatted your book. I did what you paid me for. And I sent you the files. If you broke the file, that means it needs to be reformatted, which means it's outside the scope of work. You will have to pay for it. I don't work on weekends because that's my time. I run a business. We have business hours. If you want me to work on a weekend, that's an extra fee. I also have social engagements and other projects that I have due on Monday. If I have to call my clients and tell them that I have to push back their project, that's a fee because that's my reputation on the line and I take that seriously. If I have to cancel my personal social engagement because you want to get this done, that is also a fee. So you need to determine what this is. And she just went off on me, swearing at me and like kind of being awful. And then she tried to get buddy-buddy with me and it didn't work. And like sometimes you really just kind of got to stand your ground on things. And with situations like that, I just feel like keeping a boundary is very important because I know what would happen. And the reason she felt like she could demand that I work all weekend is because I had gone out of my way for her already by getting it to her early and not charging her a rush fee because I was trying to impress someone who didn't appreciate it. And I think because I did that, she stopped seeing me as a human. She was seeing me as a servant that she hired to do a task. Because most of my clients too that get like this, they assume that I don't have any other clients I'm working with.
It's true.
And I'm like, listen, lady, I've got 10 other people I'm doing projects for right now. I just don't have time. And if you want me to make time, like that means I have to take time somewhere else and I have to charge for that because that's my reputation at risk. And I have a good reputation for being reliable and I don't want to lose that.
Yeah, you sometimes get clients that want pretty unreasonable things, for example, and you have to like learn how to work smarter to make things happen. For example, when I do illustration, like if they want like pen and ink, pencil, whatever type of illustrations, I have to make them in a way that it's editable. Like if they want any type of change at all and it's not editable, you just like doubled your time on a specific project.
Oh, jeez.
So like because you have to redraw everything or repaint everything depending on what type of quality they're looking for. Pretty much anymore, whenever I draw something for clients, every individual object is on its own layer. Like I draw it separately and then piece them together, which is terrible and hard to do because it's like you have to make sure you have like the perspective and all that stuff the same.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra time for sure.
Right. And it gets that still gets faster over time, but it's still not as fast as just like making a drawing. Right. But that way, like if they want like, oh, we don't like this person at all, that person's like no longer in the story or that anywhere in this particular scene, and you say great, and then you just like click a button and turn them off, and then they come back, inevitably they come back and say, oh, we put it back in, and you say okay, and just click a button and turn them back on.
Nice.
That makes you have to like do things like that. They don't have to know the process behind it.
Right. Yeah, they don't have to know.
Yeah, I've had clients say like, you know, I like this font, but could you make it like a half of a font size smaller? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I wait 10 minutes and I just send them back the same file. And they're like, perfect, thanks. Like going from 72 font to 71.5 font, there's no difference. You're not going to see that. It doesn't make a difference. And you get like a lot of little requests there. And I think a lot of times people just want to feel like they're more involved. Like one of my favorite emails that I got from a client this week was that they asked for something. They usually design their own ebook and they just don't know how to lay it out for paperback. They're like, can you lay it out for paperback for me? I was like, yeah, no problem. That's not an issue. And so I did it, and she approved it on the first try. She's like, oh, this is perfect. Thanks. But you know what? Just so I feel like I'm getting my money's worth, can you send me more options? And I'm like, it's perfect as is, but yet you want me to waste my time so you can see more? She goes, yeah, I just kind of want to feel like I had some input. And I'm like, okay. So really, all I did was just change the color of one layer for 5 different options and send it to her. It took me 2 minutes and like save it as JPEG. And I was like, this is, I mean, if she hadn't approved it on like the first thing I sent her, I would have been like, no. But, I mean, technically I still made a lot of money on that job, but it was just like, I was looking at that email laughing, like, you just want to feel important and involved.
Speaking of that, one of the good things about freelancing is that you don't have to work for people that you don't really want to work for, or when you like wind up doing that, you make it worth your money to work for someone. It's like the asshole tax.
Yes, I do that too. And two, like when you're initially talking to someone and emailing back and forth, you can usually get a good vibe by the language they use or their tone, how difficult they're going to be. When people contacted me, asked me for work, they're like, I don't really know what I'm looking for. But I want something, I'll know it when I see it.
See ya.
I just charge a little bit more because I know they're going to be difficult. Or, right.
They'll always take up more of your time anyway, so.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So, I mean, like, you can usually get a good sense of how much time and effort you're going to have to put into something just by the person that's doing the approval. And in the events that I have been wrong and someone's been like, oh, this is amazing, and they're easy to work for, usually I give them, like, extra stuff, too. You know, like, I mean, like, oh, here's some ads I designed for your book, and, you know, or I'll go a little bit above and beyond on the formatting and put in, like, some, like, spiffy things that make it look cooler, things like that.
Yeah. It's also really nice firing someone that's difficult.
Oh, yeah, it's just so absolutely...
to work for.
So absolutely breathtaking. So one of the, a lot of times I don't fire clients in the middle of projects.
No, not usually.
I've told like maybe 2 people that I'll either not work with them or I'll never work with them again. And the most recent one was this guy. It still makes me laugh how ridiculous this is. This guy called me and for whatever reason, he went on this tangent tirade about how awful the world is now and about how people are too nice. And in this tirade where he said some pretty like homophobic and Islamophobic things, he then went on to say, like, what is it with women needing equal pay? He's like, women can't compete on the level of men, so they obviously don't deserve the same pay as a man because obviously there's nothing a woman can do that a man can't do better. Like, the reason I'm calling you and I want to hire you is because you're a woman and I know I could pay you less. And I I was just sitting on the phone and I was like, so let me get this straight. Like,
the next sound that he would have heard would have been a click.
No, I was disconnect. Like, I was like, okay, so let me get this straight. You would pay me double if I were a man just because I'm a man. And he's like, well, yeah. Like, obviously, because a man doing the same work would be worth more. And I was like, okay, you know that estimate I gave you? He's like, yeah. I was like, triple it. Because
that's how much it will take to work with you.
Yeah. I was like, that's how much you'd pay a man, then that's what I want. And he's like, oh, no, you're one of those feminists, are you? He goes, well, I'm not paying that. I said, that's good, because even if you did, I wouldn't work with you. I couldn't believe it. Like, it was just, like, one of the most bizarre things. Yeah. But highballing and an estimate.
The worst part would be he doesn't see anything wrong with anything he's saying or doing.
Like, I was like, you're aware I'm a woman, right? And he's like, yeah, that's the whole reason I want to hire you, so I can pay you less. And I was just, like, so flabbergasted that somebody would say that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I also had somebody tell me that Jesus told them, Jesus came to them in a dream and said that I specifically had to do their book cover and Jesus wanted me to do it for free. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I think Jesus wants me to pay rent. So I think you're going to have to find somebody else. But Jesus wants you to do it. I'm like, well, Jesus is going to have to live with disappointment because I don't work for free. You know, like, this is my job. And it's just like, you get some of the weirdest requests.
Yeah, I was doing a children's book and was drawing, like, an 8-year-old little girl. And then I kept getting feedback from this guy. He's like, she looks good, but she's awfully flat-chested. Like, she's 8.
Yeah. Puberty doesn't usually start till around like 11, 12.
Yeah, she's 8. Of course, like you do what they want, otherwise you're not gonna get paid. Speaking of
Yeah.
which, always ask for earnest money. But anyway, so I did, and I started drawing like ridiculous boobs on this stupid little girl for his terrible book. And it's
Oh,
like,
goodness.
oh, this is never going in my portfolio. Ever
Yeah.
going in my portfolio.
Well, in
No one
those
ever needs to
cases,
know I worked on this. Yeah.
in cases where I disagree with client feedback, I usually try to show them what they asked, and then I also show them what I think that they want or what I think would be better, and try to persuade them the other way. And 9 times out of 10, that works. But when it doesn't, I just kind of give them what they want. Like, I've done a lot of books, and I'll be honest and kind of toot my horn a little bit, that some of them are bestsellers and like really successful. And I think that I know what I'm doing at this point. I've done over 100 covers. I've got it in the bag, and not to be too arrogant, but I may not always know the best thing that works, but it's really obvious what doesn't. And
Yes.
one of the most common requests I get is somebody on a beach at sunset, and it's all silhouette-y and like neon colors and gross. And like, I get that request so often, it makes me throw up. Like even if I'm in a bookstore and I see a book with that, I'm like, I'm never gonna buy that book. It's no, that's stupid. Like, it's like one of the worst cliches ever to me that I get that request once a week, and I always try to talk them away from it. And it almost always works. But I do have like two or three silhouette sunset covers in my portfolio that I don't show anyone, because you're only as strong as your weakest piece in your portfolio. And to me, it's not worth putting in there if I'm not proud of it. So, but I try my best to make sure that all my work is something I can be proud of.
It's true. It's weird when you get people with completely different tastes. Another thing is if you do a lot of indie projects, we were talking about getting earnest money up front. It depends on the type of contract you're doing. Like if you're sending them a contract, you're not exactly like a 1099 employee, but if they're like hiring you off something different, it's like you become like a contract employee for them. It's kind of weird how it works. It's like there's probably no like legal difference in my mind. Like, no real legal difference, but in my mind, there's something that's completely different based off of like working for someone versus collaborating together. I don't know how to really phrase it.
I think the difference from a legal standpoint is how much money they've paid you over the year. Because I had to fill out paperwork for a client of mine who owns a small indie publishing company. And he paid me enough money over the year that he has to report it, which means I had to file paperwork with him. Even though I'm a freelancer, I needed to do that. So I think that's like the legal difference. Beyond that, I don't really know how that goes. With working on indie projects for like games and things, I will give people a bit of warning because I got burned.
Yeah. It happens a lot. Indie projects fold all the time. Like
Yeah,
you can start
yeah.
working on something and if you don't get paid up front, you might not get paid. If you get paid little up front, like you don't get like a good salary off of what you're gonna do, but you get like promised royalties, that can be great if the game goes to be a success, but in reality, you don't know if it's ever gonna really
Yeah,
be.
if the project folds, you get nothing.
Yeah, if the
And that's what
project
happened
folds,
to
you get
me.
nothing.
I worked on a project for a few months animating, and they told me it was profit share, which was fine. But one of the things that I remember thinking was odd was that it took forever for them to send me a contract. And I told them, I was like, I don't feel comfortable working without paperwork. That's just kind of how I roll, because like they promised me profit share verbally on Skype, so I didn't even have an email in writing. And I was like, I kind of just want something in writing, if that's okay. And it took a while for that to get. So I feel like that should have been kind of one of the warning signs.
Red flag, red flag, red flag,
Yeah.
red flag.
But then
Yeah,
I was animating and I was working on all these cycles and they had really unreasonable expectations. Like it was profit share, so I wasn't getting paid right away. So they were, I told them, I was like, I have a full-time job. I'm not going to take time off work and I'm not going to go part-time. Like I have bills, which I feel like everyone should understand that if you're doing work and you read it, money comes first. You can't sacrifice your life for a job that's not
Yeah,
paying.
or you
And
get like an indie studio that's completely mismanaged. Like they start off with a project and they have like a really good idea, and it's like you're excited to work on it, and of course you're getting paid because like you want to get paid for your time while you're there.
yeah.
And then they like mismanage everything and like squander through all the goodwill or any funding that they had. Like I worked for one that was originally going to be a Unity video game. It's like a Unity MMORPG, and then they changed it from going from Unity to Unreal, and then they've like changed it to go to the voxel engine that like Minecraft is using. And every time that happened, it would set the project back another 6 months.
Oh my gosh,
And like
that's an awful
work that
decision.
we
Dang.
yeah and work that we had done, like some of it was still usable, but a lot of it wasn't, and you'd have to redo it, and it was just terrible. And it's like, and like the voxel engine itself is a pay engine. You have to pay a lot of money for that. So the moment they bought that one, everything started to fold. Like none of the programmers knew how to use it because, again, proprietary, expensive proprietary software, the programmers have to like relearn it. It's like, I think it was still using languages that they were familiar with, but with concept, using concepts within that language that they didn't have to do when they were using like Unreal. Because I think it still used C sharp, but I'm not sure because I'm not totally not a
It sounds like a
programmer.
nightmare.
It was a nightmare. And then it eventually folded, but it was like good because like the programmers and everyone that was working there was getting paid up until that
Yeah,
point.
and well, I worked on this other
So
project for 6 months, and there were like lots of little things like they wanted to switch to a new character, but they didn't have it rigged, and they kept telling me it'd be rigged, next week, and then it'd be next week, and then it'd be next week. So when they finally gave me the rig, they kept their original deadline. So even though I didn't get the rig until 3 months after I was told I'd have it, they didn't adjust the deadline for the animation for that. So I was turning down paying freelance jobs so I'd have time to meet that deadline. So, I mean, I was taking it seriously, and I was excited to be a part of a team and a project. And I found out 2 months after, 2 months after the fact that the project had canceled. And I said, well, why didn't you guys tell me? Like, because I just kept working on these animations and you guys kept giving me feedback and telling me, like giving me assignments. If the project was canceled, why didn't you just tell me so I could stop working on it? Oh, well, you seem like you needed something to work on. And I was like, I've been turning down paying jobs to finish this. And so I just spent 6 months of my life working really hard at something for a profit share that was never going to get. So zoom to 3 months later, I haven't really been talking to these people. The project folded, whatever. They contact me and ask me for my files because they wanted to use them for a different game. And I was like, oh, okay. So do you want me to like come back on as an animator? Do you want to give me more assignments? And they said, no. We don't want to use you again because we felt like you weren't really committed to this project. Because we need someone who could commit more time. And I was like, well, I can commit time if you pay me. I work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday at a full-time job. Like I can't just give that up because how am I going to pay my bills? And they're like, well, we really need like a full-time animator on this. And I was like, then you're going to have to either find someone who's like really naive and doesn't know what they're doing, or you're gonna have to pay someone. It's like, which if you're gonna pay me, I'm fine. And they're like, well, we really just want your files. And I was like, okay, so how does that work with the profit share slash, attribution? You're still gonna attribute these to me. Well, if you're not on the project, we don't need to tell people you did the animation on it.
Then I don't need to give you my
That was
file.
exactly my response. And I was like, if you're not going to list me on the project, and if I'm not going to get profit share for the stuff I already did, then you're not getting my files. And they're like, well, that's not fair. You signed paperwork. I was like, yeah, for a project that's now closed. So we don't have, and like, we don't have an open agreement. And like, all of this was an email, how he was telling me that he wasn't going to attribute to me and he didn't think I needed to be paid if I wasn't on the project. And I was like, I'm sorry, like, you want to open your indie studio and be this big, like they wanted, this guy wanted to run the next PlayStation. And I was like, you can't do that. Like, you can either pay me for my files now, like with cash. You can list me as a contributor animator and give me the profit share. Or you can have somebody else reanimate the files. Because I'm not giving, like, I've already done enough work for free at this point. I'm not letting you walk all over me for it. And
Yeah.
I think the big moral of the whole freelancing thing is that freelancing is hard and people will try to take your money or your time
people will take
whenever
advantage
they
of
can.
you if they get the opportunity to. And like, you have to stay firm. And a lot of times it's really hard because you want people to have a good reputation with you and stuff. But like in the situation with this woman who was giving me a hard time this weekend, if she goes and complains to people about what happened, who do you think looks at the fault? Who do you think looks bad? Like, that's what I think about too. Like, okay, if this whole situation was to be told to somebody else, who looks bad here? Is it me? Well, then obviously I need to fix something. Is it them? Then obviously I'm doing nothing wrong. And like, if you don't value your own time and your work, then your clients won't. And it's just people's nature to take advantage. One of the things I learned really the like really hard way, it's one of the hardest lessons I've ever done, is working with friends is really tricky. So like, I've done work for friends like Kim. She asked me for some help with her business card. And I was like, yeah, let me whip that
Oh,
up for
yeah.
you. And I did it for Kim because I don't think that she would take advantage of it because she's also an artist and knows how that goes. I did some work for one of my best friends. And I was like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, it's my pleasure. Let this just be a gift to you because I enjoy being your friend. Like, obviously, like, if I needed help with something, you'd help me. No big deal. Well, then they wanted this done and then they wanted that done. And I was like, sorry, I just don't have time right now. Can it wait? And they're like, no, I can't wait. And I need this done now. Like, they started acting like a client. And
Yeah.
I fixed that with a project I did with a friend. It's like he wanted an album cover done for one of his latest albums. I'm like, great. It's like I like you. We've been friends for a long time, and I actually want something like this in my portfolio, and it looks nice, that finished album cover. But if I'm going to do it for you, you're gonna sit with me the entire time I'm doing it, not playing on your phone, not looking at your computer, not looking at the other computer. You're going to watch me work the entire time I did
oh, that's a good thing. That's a
it.
good
It
idea.
totally worked because 10 or so hours I worked on this project with him. He sat there. It's like, this is this what you want it to look like? Yes. And was like totally bored, but he like kept me company while I finished it for him.
Yeah. That has to make him appreciate it more to know how much time went
Yes.
into
It's
it.
like, I know that it took you a month to record the album and do all the editing, but this also takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing I'll never understand is like, I work with a lot of writers, which is also a very creative field. And yet they have no respect for the creative process on my end. And I always find that very mind-boggling. And I think it's just this idea that I just click a button and it just magically happens. That there's not talent, or if there is talent, it means I can do it really fast kind of stuff. And, no big deal kind of thing. And it always just boggles my mind, but I almost lost like a really important friendship because like every week they were asking for something, either can you help me build this website or can you help me do this or can you help me do that? Like they had all these big dreams of things they wanted to do and they wanted me to do all the design for it and they were thinking about opening this company and doing all this stuff and it got out of hand because they started getting mad and doing this passive aggressive thing because I was like, listen, I just don't have time. So can you like can it wait? And so I just sit down with them and say, listen, this is how much I charge per hour. This is how much what you're asking me would normally cost, and this is how much time it would take. I didn't mind doing you a favor for free because you're a friend, but this is how much time it took me to do that favor for you. So please stop putting me in position where I have to be uncomfortable because you're asking for a lot of things. And it's starting to feel like you don't respect me, don't respect my time, and don't respect what I do. So if you want me to do it for free, you have to wait till I have free time to do it. And if you want all this work done, know that I'm going to have to start charging you for it because I can't be doing this much work for free.
It's
Yeah,
so
and like
true.
really, like this, doing this changes the whole dynamic of our relationship. If honestly, at this point, I would rather just refer you to someone I know who will do it. And they're like, but that person will charge me. And I was like, well, I think we're at the point that I'm going to have to start charging you too. Like, and if you're uncomfortable with that, fine. And like, I make this person sign paperwork too. Because the first time we had that conversation, she's like, okay, that's fine. I want you to charge me like one of my clients and blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay.
Until they realize how much work it goes into
Yeah, and I gave them a friends and family discount of like 20% off. And then time comes to pay it, and they said, here's a check for $50. That's how much I feel like this is worth. I know we agreed on this price, but I feel like since I'm your
it's
friend,
okay that you only work for 40 hours to
yeah,
finish
it's
this
like
for me. $50 could have 40 hours of work,
exact,
no
and that's how it
problem.
was. And I was so angry. I was like, you know what? Keep your check. And I looked at the check and I was like, it was for $25. And I was like, I thought you said 50. And they're like, well, we can only afford to pay you half now. We'll pay you the half later. And they never even paid me the other half. And I never even cashed the check. I was just so angry at how insulting it was that they were like, I know you gave me a friends and family discount, and I'm sure your stuff is worth what you told me. Like, I would have to pay for it and what we agreed upon. But I feel like I'm entitled to a discount. So I'm just going to pay you what I think it's worth, which is a pittance. And, which, to me, it was like 50 cents an hour they paid me for the work I did. And to the point that, like, they asked me to do work for them again. And I was like, no, you're going to
Wow.
have to go somewhere else. Like, I'm just.
Yeah, you know what? This actually reminds me really quick of I guess it wasn't freelancing because it wasn't like anything official, but I actually it was for a friend at the time. He was like really big in like the Yu-Gi-Oh card game community, right? And he like him and his friends super big in tournaments and everything like that, and they wanted to get like a brand together essentially. So he was like, hey, you know, you do like art and stuff, would you be able to do a logo? I was like, yeah, are you willing to pay for it? And he goes, yeah, sure. I was like, all right, cool. So I do a crap ton of work on this logo. I made so many changes to it. I had it in Illustrator so that it was good to go in like all of your screen printing and like stenciling and all of that vinyl printing formats. I had it reversible. I had everything. And I sincerely lowballed the number, just like, okay, you know, I did this for you. We were cool. You pay me this, I'll send you all these files and we're good to go. And, you know, because it would get me quote unquote exposure and all this other stuff, and other people probably would have come to me. But then he's like, I was like, all right, 300 for everything. And he was just like, is that how much this would cost? I was like, dude, this is way less than it should cost you. I'm giving you the friendship discount. And he was just like, I really don't think it's worth that much. I was like, then I really don't think you'll get the files.
I really don't think your friendship is worth that
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked since. I was like, look, if you don't respect the work that I'm doing, I don't have to respect you. That's how that goes.
Yeah, I always tell them a price first, and if they complain about it, I'm like, then don't hire me. Like you ask me how much of it costs, and somebody actually did that. They're like, hey, I want a new website made. How much do you charge for that? And I was like, yeah, like. I'm pretty cheap for websites, to be honest. 'Cause I don't do them very often, and like I have templates that I use. It takes me so little time to put one together that I'm just like, yeah, whatever. And I like super low bought it too because it was a friend of the family. Like I think I said, you know what? You know, we could I could use a discount at your store. I'll build your thing for like $100. He was like, that's really expensive. And I just looked at him and I was like, You haven't researched this at all, have
You
you?
don't know.
If you think that's expensive, like,
Bro.
Like, whatever. Because he was just saying he wanted a one-page thing that had his information on it. It would take me like 2 hours, maybe three, just to set it up, not including all the changes he'd probably want. And he was like, that's really expensive. And I was like, do it yourself.
And then he probably expected you to pay for the hosting and
Yep. And the web,
his
like he
domain.
did. He and I was like, oh, well, I'm definitely not doing that. Like, no, not doing that at all. So,
Wow.
there are good things about freelancing, but
yeah, the flexibility is nice, and
the flexibility is
yeah.
so totally nice. The being able to get rid of the clients is that you don't like. You don't have to work
And
with
to be fair, like,
you.
for every one client I have that's
Yeah.
awful, or person that I have to deal with that's awful, I've got like four others that are really great. Like, one of my first clients is now one of my best friends. Like, we met through her hiring me. And then there's this other lady who's hired us for everything that she's ever written. And she's always like messaging me saying, hey, I saw Up today and it made me think of you and Carl. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And I had this other client in Michigan who's just this really nice old man who's
Aw.
like he sent me his famous recipe for divinity candy.
What? Mmm,
And I was like,
divinity.
yeah, it's like this fluffy, sticky candy that tastes like frosting. And it's called divinity. And I mean, so like for every person I have calling and being a jerk, I've got my Peggy, I've got my NJ, I've got my Fred. You know, I've got my Chris. You know, Chris who's hired me for
Right.
like 10 books at this point, or I've got my Dan who owns a publishing company and literally uses me for just about everything. And I mean, for every awful person I have, I've got all of them. So there's a lot of perks of freelancing too.
Not to scare anybody listening with all the other stuff, but
Yeah.
Well,
Well.
nobody likes hearing all the good stories. The fun stuff are the bad stories. Like
It's
the ones that you
true.
get to be like, can you believe
Or
people?
you get
Like
the fun stories where it's like, yeah, your taste level's completely different than mine, but I'll work with you anyway because I like you and the project sounds like it'll be awesome. I'll never be able to show it on my own. But this is awesome.
Yeah. One of the reasons I do not friend like if I get a friend request from a client, I have to really like them to say yes. Because one of the things I do is I post some of my experiences on my Facebook wall as like a way to vent, and they are entertaining. And it's like Ellie deals with difficult people, and that's how I head it. And never fail, those are like my most popular posts on Facebook. But when I post, hey, can you believe how nice this person is? One of my clients is so wonderful. He gave me one of his family recipes for candy. Literally, no one liked it. No one cared. No one cares about the good stories of good experiences. They only want to like pull their popcorn and read the drama about how people say some of the most awful things. So
It's true.
I share them and I like talking because they are fun. I mean, they're aggravating when they happen,
Oh,
but they make
they
fun
can be
like
so aggravating because that person
they're
when
dinner party stories.
yeah. Because when you're hired, that person is your life until the contract ends, pretty much. It's like, this is what I'm doing.
You ever find yourself rushing a project because you just want to get that person to leave faster?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, all right. I'm going to stay up late tonight and work on this so that I'd have to deal with this person for less amount of my life than if I
Yeah.
waited until tomorrow.
And the bonus of that is that it kind of makes it look like you're making more per hour, or you're making more in the week because you can take on extra projects afterwards. But the bad part is that like you're really tired for a day or two. Oh
Well,
yeah.
guys, you know what I think about all this?
What?
I think I need some of this divinity candy. That's what I think.
It's kind of like a marshmallow with almost a fudge texture and nuts.
Yeah.
That sounds
I can't give you
divine.
the recipe. I can't give you the
No, I
recipe,
don't
but
want the
the
recipe. I don't want the recipe. I can't bake. That's Chelsea. Chelsea's the baker. I don't
Well,
know.
no. It's not a baking thing. It's something you cook on the stove. It's candy.
Okay, then I can cook, but whatever. I don't need the recipe. It's way more fun if someone else wants to make it.
I will see the next time I come to Florida, I'll make it and bring it on the airplane.
Hey, or I'll buy the materials and you can cook it. That's fine too.
I think it's just eggs and sugar and vanilla
Well, there's the
for
recipe.
And walnuts or
Well, I mean, there's
pecans.
like other stuff in it, but it's like you probably have all the ingredients already. But yeah, freelancing does have its perks. And like one of my favorite things is like on Fridays, I work from home and I don't get out of my pajamas. I sit my lazy butt on the couch with my laptop and I watch Doctor Who in the background, or my dog snuggles me in my lap like she was doing 2 seconds
See,
ago.
minus the Doctor Who, that sounds perfect.
Yeah,
Yeah, it
you kind
is.
of
It
work
is
where you
perfect.
want
Now,
to for the most part, unless you're like, I have a requirement with the main gig that I have to be in the office one day a week, and the rest of the time we do like dailies over the net, and it's fine. So, but for one day in the studio, it's a pretty good gig.
sounds like it.
Yeah, it does sound like a pretty good gig. I'm very jealous. I feel like I need to move to Seattle so I can get in on this.
Yeah, or you like work at, like I do a lot of work at a coffee shop, like my local coffee shop. Oh, it's like I'll go there so I don't feel as isolated, because freelancing can be that way. It's like
Yeah.
see some people, or at least
Lonely.
have people around you.
I'm Mr. Lonely. I
Yeah,
have nobody.
one of my coworkers rent she rents out an office space for the rest of the week just so she has somewhere to go that's not home while she works.
All right, here's my
Yeah.
question.
Why? If you're at home, you don't have to wear pants. That's like my favorite part of working from home is I don't have to put on pants.
See,
I
I'm uncomfortable
understand.
not wearing pants. So, oh, all
Yeah.
right, Alice,
Yeah,
I
but you're
have.
supposed to wear them on your legs.
Touche, my friend, touche. All right, I got one more question for you, Ellis, before we probably wrap up. But which do you prefer personally, since you do go out and work at like a coffee shop? Do you feel more productive doing that? Is it about the same as home? What do you think?
Well, it's a little different. Like at home, when you're working, you wind up having really long days because you're like, oh, it's like, oh, it's like I'll go make lunch. It's like, I'm not gonna make a sandwich. I'm gonna like cook something because I'm like, I want something that's good. So it's like, oh, it's like suddenly you like take an hour for lunch. It's like, okay, that's fine. And then you go, it's like, oh, now I have to do the dishes. And then you take a little bit more time. It's like, oh, while I'm here, it's like you start working, and it's like, oh, there's some laundry. I should start that. So you like start laundry, and then you come back.
Yeah, I do a lot of laundry at home.
Yeah. So you do.
Where else
So
would you do
you.
your laundry?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, like when I'm working from home.
Yeah, but you do like a lot of other
Gosh.
things when you're at home that you don't do when you're actually out, because you just it's easier to focus when you're away. But I
Yeah.
feel a little more productive at home, although probably because my hours at home are probably twice as long.
See, I feel like at home I work faster. Like there's less distractions, I'm more relaxed. I don't have anybody bothering me. Like even with the TV on, like or with my dog, taking breaks to play with her. Like I'm not answering phones, my coworkers that I see during the week aren't asking me to do things or bothering me or anything else. I like that I can cook, but even at my day job with my file entries and like my customer service that I do at my day job, I feel like I get more work done when I'm alone in the office than when there's anybody there.
Right.
And so it's the same thing at home, like because there's a kitchen and stuff at the office, so I can cook if I want to, and I do that every now and then.
Yeah, I usually have my days at home split as well. Like I'll work from the late morning until the early afternoon, and then I'll go and do like my daily errands that I do. And then I'll like start working again like 9 or 10 o'clock at night until I go to bed.
Yeah, I do that too. And like when I'm traveling, like for work, at night, I like one of my New Year's resolutions is to get 30 minutes of me time a day, like relaxing, like watching TV, reading a book, taking a hot bubble bath, whatever suits my fancy, playing a game. And I still haven't been able to do that yet. Because a lot of times, like, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy the work. And, I get lost in it sometimes. Just like I do when I'm animating, I get lost in that.
Yeah, that's one of the best parts
And,
about artwork, really.
yeah. Yeah.
Where it doesn't feel as labor intensive because it doesn't feel like it takes as long, even though it usually takes longer.
Yeah, like it does take a lot of work and it is hard work, but it's enjoyable and it's very satisfying too, especially like sometimes I get clients that come to me with very specific ideas and I'm like, how in the world am I ever going to do this? And then you research and you look up for stock photos and resources that you can use and like I Carl knows anytime we go out and we pass a bookstore, I have to go in and look because I get requests to do new book covers daily. Like that's, I'm a professional book cover designer at this point, and I love doing it. So I keep looking for new things. The same way that I always have to watch the new animated movie because I want to see what they're doing so that I can apply it to my own work. And it's just, it's not something I can ever turn off. I'm always thinking about things. And one of the, I guess, I don't know, plus downsides of freelancing is that you're kind of always working. You're always thinking. I may not respond to emails right away on weekends, but I'm always reading them and thinking over like how am I going to do this kind of stuff. And it's really nice to see something come together. And then a lot of my clients mail me copies of their books and they sign them and put like really nice notes in them. I only do ebooks now, so the books I have on my shelves are ones I've designed. And people come over and they see them, like, oh, hey, that cover's really cool. And I'm like, oh, thanks. I designed that. And
Dust
they're like,
off the shoulder in a
what?
bit.
Yeah, like that's one of mine. And like, for my parents, a lot of what, like artwork and stuff, like everything that I've ever done, it didn't really become real for them that I was a professional artist, a professional designer, and I'll even call myself a professional animator. Until they could hold something in their hands and be like, wow, this looks like something I would pick up at the bookstore. Like, that's how professional they look.
Thank
Well, that's what it's
you.
supposed to be. Yeah, that's this is how I do. It's nice to see it all come together. You know what I mean? And
I think you managed to bring it back around to be more positive here in the end.
yeah. Well, I mean, because I mean, obviously, like, freelancing is a great way to supplement your income too. You know what I mean? Like, freelancing, like
Get money.
when once October rolls around,
Get
I'm
money.
like, I need to take on more projects so I can go to CTN this year.
Yeah.
Or it's like, eh, you know what? I would like to go on a cruise this summer. Let's go get some more projects.
Yeah, when I was like when I started freelancing, I've had like months where I've made more in a month than I've ever made, even when I was like a business analyst. And I've also had months where I've like made nothing, just literally nothing. Those good months pay for the poor months. But it's nice because during those poor months, you're like looking for other work or starting like your own personal projects, which you can't really do with like a regular type of day job. It just has a lot of flexibility in good ways.
Yeah. What you get for the perks, you pay for in the risks. Like everything has their ups and downs. So personally, I think freelancing is worth it. All the perks I get from freelancing make dealing with those difficult clients who want to pay me less because I'm a woman, or the ones who demand I work on the weekends or that kind of stuff. It makes all that worth it because I don't know, like it hasn't gotten to a point where I've decided to say screw
Right.
it. At least not
Well, that's
yet.
good.
There was one point where I was like at the end of my rope and I was like, I just hate people. I'm just gonna close the studio for a week. I'm going on vacation. And I emailed all my clients and I said, I'm going on vacation this week. Don't bother me. I'm not emailing you back. And they are all like, you deserve it. It's like, thank you. And I did. And that's one thing that's nice too, is like if I need a break, if I need to step away, I can just email everybody and tell them I'm doing that. And I don't have to get anyone's approval to take time off, which is nice. Yeah. Do you have any last minute questions for us before we wrap up about freelancing?
I'm good. I mean, I'm just gonna come to you guys when I or when or if I ever start.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I'll
Yep.
give you my contract that you can look over.
Yeah.
Yep.
Start your network early, and because the people you know are more likely to give you jobs or people of people that you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like they're like illustrating is outside of my scope of talents. So when somebody comes to me and says, "Hey, can you do illustration, or do you know somebody who does?" I send them to Ellis.
Have you met Ellis?
It works. I totally get work from Ellie. And I try to send work her way, but it's weird because I have the people that I know that like do books are few and far between.
Hey, that's fine. I mean, it'll happen. If you want to send something my way, you could send me, like one of those animation jobs. Like when you become like this huge manager of an animation studio, then you can return the favor, but you can like, Ellie, you want a full-time job?
You have a deal. Where the animators at my one part-time primary gig are thinking about forming our own little studio so we can actually start marketing ourselves out that way, because having a team of people is easier to get the longer projects than having one person do it
Yeah.
themselves.
Hook a brother up.
That would be amazing. I would do that. I would do that in a heartbeat. I would be all over that. I would be all over that like flies on stink.
That's the first one you go
Like what? Well, I guess like white on rice.
will get done.
Flies on stink was my dad's go-to, so.
Yeah, so freelancing, it's fun, it's hard, it has its own rewards, and it's also like super frustrating all at the same time.
It's a roller coaster, people. That's what I've learned
Totally a
today.
roller coaster.
It sucks, but it's awesome. Yeah. I have friends who are like, "So, you doing anything to like everyone knows just off the bat that if they want to do something with me, they have to give me like a week's notice." Especially if it's in the middle of the week. "Hey, you want to go out for dinner tomorrow?" Nah, I can't. I am literally working all night for the rest of my
If
life.
tomorrow is now the Wednesday of next week, yes, we can make that work.
So, or they know that if I call them and say, "Hey, do you want to do something tomorrow?" But that always means I'm free. Like if I say so. So usually they jump on it, but
Right.
yeah, it's great. So, all right. Well, I think that we've covered everything. Do you have any last minute
No.
parting words of wisdom,
No.
Ellis? Okay. Well,
Nah, I'm
oh
done.
no.
I'm
I'm getting
done.
attacked by a fluffy puppy. Hold on.
No, just
Yeah, the best part of freelancing is getting attacked by your puppy. It
Exactly.
wouldn't be a
All
podcast
right.
now if we didn't hear about little Poppy.
Okay.
About Mabel. All right. Well, I am Ellie Augsburger for the Animate Your Life podcast. You can find us on the animatorlife.tumblr.com. You can leave us questions, comments, or if you've got like a really interesting topic you'd like to talk about on the podcast, just hit me up. That's my rule. If you want to be on the podcast, you get to choose what to talk about because finding topics is the hardest thing.
You would do better than I would, that is for sure.
I forget how we do these outros. I
I'm
think you go.
Nick.
You say goodbye.
Just, I'm Nick. I'm also going to sign off, guys. Thank you, Ellis, for joining us today. It was
Thank you
wonderful
for
to have
having me.
you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, dude. I'm sure we'll have you again, too. You got to have new
Oh,
stories for
yeah,
us
for
later.
sure.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah, we'll have a follow-up every year.
Oh, yeah, there
Clients
we
from
go.
Hell.
There we go.
The Clients from Hell podcast, even though that's already a Tumblr and we can't steal that. But still, yeah. Freelancing horror stories. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening and keep on living the animated life.
Woo!